This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome back to the newest episode of the NWA Saturday Special. Happy Easter to all who observe. Happy Passover to all who observe. Let me bring in my compadre, the doctor, Dr. G. Giorgio Bellino. It's not quite midnight yet. It's not quite midnight yet, so you can't eat the pizza rustica. You got to wait a little bit. Doctor, always a pleasure.
It is, I'm looking forward to talking about this show tonight.
Yeah, it's a very different one. Of course, as everyone knows, we're still locked down, so no new powers. We don't have a new date yet for the Crockett Cup, so we just got to sit back, chill out, and talk history. We got some good feedback last week when we talked about the 70th anniversary special, so tonight we're going to do another recap of a most recent show that the NWA hosted in the William Patrick Corgan era. And this was very weird. I have to be honest with you. We researched it, and it was called a pop-up event. That's what it was called. And I actually said it on the signs around the arena. It was an NWA pop-up event. I didn't quite know what that meant. Like, it just popped up out of nowhere? I don't know what that meant. In any event, it was unofficially called an NWA pop-up event. But it did have a name, and it was actually sold as a DVD, and you could buy that DVD on the National Wrestling Alliance's website. It was called New Year's Clash 2019. That's our show that we'll be recapping for you tonight. It took place on January 5th, 2019, so just a little over a year ago, and it took place at not exactly the Superdome or MetLife, but pretty loud, raucous place. The Wilma Rudolph Event Center in Clarksville, Tennessee. Take the last train to Clarksville. And I'll sing Little Monkeys. No? Okay.
We want to keep the listeners.
Yeah. Although I thought I did pretty good there. I didn't really scream it. It's not like Journey or anything. But anyway, I would say, the official crowd, according to Wikipedia, the official crowd was 1,149. That's not bad, actually, for what they were trying to accomplish, you know? I would say it's probably slightly bigger than the fairgrounds, which is where the 70th anniversary show was the previous October. And, of course, that's where, as we had mentioned last week, that's where TNA used to do their early pay-per-views. This was another combo show, but not with ROH, or not with another promotion. This was with, or not another big promotion. This was with the local promotion called Tried and True Wrestling, otherwise known as TNT. And it's run by the guy that we know as Crimson. Crimson is one half of the tag team with Jack Stane, known as the War Kings, and we'll talk about them because they are on the show tonight. But he's the guy who runs Tried and True Wrestling. And so they did kind of a combo thing for them again. The NWA was not quite big enough to be able to sustain themselves just yet. They'd get there by the end of the year, because exactly 12 months from now, or 11 months from now, we would, of course, have Into the Fire, which we've already covered, so we won't get into that. But one thing about Into the Fire, though, that main event is the same as this main event on this show, between two superb athletes. So let's dive in. What did you think when you saw – well, let's open the show first. We opened with a promo because we're going to talk about a infamous celebrity in wrestling history. There's famous, like Lawrence Taylor, Mike Tyson, Kiss. And then there's infamous, Andy Kaufman. And then there's infamous, like David Arquette. David Arquette, of course, married to Patricia. I think it's Patricia Arquette's brother, married, of course, to Courtney Cox. Was in Scream. But he infamously won the WCW championship on an episode of Thunder in 2000. And of course that caused waves and the business is done and WCW screwed up and this led to its downfall. No, by the time David Arquette,
they were already in their decline.
They were already buried. WWE was kicking the shit out of them fairly easily by the middle of 2000. So, let's lay that right there on the table that David Arquette did not lead to the downfall of, if WCW had did this in 98, maybe, but not by 2000, WWF was consistently beating the snot out of them in the ratings and money and everything else. So he apparently, Dr. G was battling a severe drinking problem and promoting a new documentary. Now, new at the time, I guess it was a year ago, so maybe it's still new. Maybe you can find it on Netflix. I'm not sure if you can find it, but it's called You Cannot Kill David Arquette. And they would play a couple of promos about that throughout the show. So I would assume that he was probably made a deal. Like, I would love to wrestle in this show if you guys will promote my movie. I'm sure that's the deal.
Well, I mean, and David Arquette has been wrestling. He's done. I know he was doing some stuff with NWA, not NWA Hollywood. Then I call that Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, and. You know, he really worked hard. I mean, he really was very upset about what happened back in 2000 because he does love the wrestling business.
And, yes, well, yeah, I agree with that.
Yep. You know, he went into training. I mean, he's in pretty good shape, and he really took it seriously about training. And I know he's basically been on the road. I mean, he was on the road last year a bit. I don't know what he's doing now. But I know he was at a bunch of different shows throughout last year. Mm-hmm. So, yep. You know, I really think it really bothers him as successful, you know, he had a pretty successful acting career or has a pretty, I wouldn't say, you know, he's not at the Rock standards, but you know, he's had a successful.
He's had some good stuff. Sure.
Wrestling. Acting career, but it seems like the wrestling thing, I mean, think legitimately, I mean, obviously he's playing it into his character, but I think it legitimately bothered him that he took so much flack for that, which, you know, again, it wasn't like he chose to be champion. That was what, you know, Russo and all those guys, whatever. Was it Russo or Bischoff?
No, it was Russo. It was definitely because he was in the ring. No, it was Russo.
Yeah, it was Russo at the time. I don't know. The WCW was such a mess then.
Yeah, it really was. It really was.
You know, so I think, you know, I mean, we'll talk about his match and everything. I mean, he's still obviously pretty green, but, you know, but he's taking it seriously. Like, he really wanted to train to become a wrestler, and he really doesn't, you know, I think he has enough money. I don't think he needs to be going to all these independent shows, which I'm sure he's making maybe a decent penny, but he's not making what he'd be making if he was doing movies. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Exactly. So we open the show with a promo of his movie and then a promo from Josephus, who cuts a promo about David Arquette trying to, you know,
he's really good.
Is really good. And you know, what's funny, and we'll get more into Josephus later in the show, because I feel like he went downhill after that. Cause apparently he was involved in a real blood feud with Tim Storm, and he was really one of the higher heels in the NWA proper. But I feel like when we watched him on Power, he was a big joke. He got beat up by James Storm, and then we didn't see him again. It was very strange. Like, this is a different Josephus than we saw when we started when Power debuted.
Yeah, I mean,
9.5 months later.
That Josephus, I mean, I'm like, wow, how is he not in the WWE? I mean, he'd be perfect with Bray Wyatt. You know, he's just got that way about him. I think he's got a great gimmick. But
I think he does too. But yeah, something happened.
You're right. When we saw him on Power, it was kind of like not the same person.
Yeah. So anyway, he cuts a promo, and then David Arquette answers, and and they're going to have a tag match. And it's going to be Josephus and his spiritual advisor, which is a bald woman who's in pretty good shape, against David Arquette and a tag partner of his choice. The loser gets his hair shaved, gets his head shaved. So very interesting. So we open the show and we are in the arena. We get a wide shot of the arena, and our announcers. And I was waiting for Joe Galli and Cornette. Instead, this must have been a deal that was worked out with the promotion. This must be the tried and true wrestling guys, because we get three guys I've never seen before. Yeah, their names are Jason James, Gilbert Corsi, and Nigel Sherrod, or Sherrod. I think it's Sherrod. So three guys I've never heard of. So these guys must be, you know, we should have invited on tonight. I didn't think about it. I'll have to ask him another day. Ben Zani, who is host of a tremendous show right here on our network feed, Row One, Seat One. He's from this area. He's a big indie guy in the Southeast, so I'm assuming he knows who these guys are. Probably should have had him on for a little research, but maybe another time. Anyway, I've never heard of these guys, so I'm thinking to myself, no Joe Galli, no Cornette. I'm a little nervous about what we're about to listen to. We did have one dark match, and that was Max Stardom with Selena De La Renta defeated Jeremiah Plunkett. I'm assuming those are tried and true wrestling guys, because I've never heard of either of them. So must be local guys. And that's good. Hey, give them some pub. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure if you bought the pay-per-view on Fight TV, you probably got to watch that match. And that's good. That's good. All right. So we open the show with our first match of the night. It is a Crockett Cup qualifier, because the Crockett Cup last year was on April 27th in Concord, North Carolina. Maybe down the line we'll review that show too. We'll see. So this was a qualifying match, and guess who's back, Dr. G? Our guy Jay Bradley's back.
Yeah.
And he is teaming with Caleb Conley, who we've seen on the NWA Power shows, taking on the team I aforementioned, and we saw them at the anniversary show, the War Kings, which is, of course, as I mentioned, Crimson, who's the guy that kind of runs Tried and True, and former NWA Worlds Champion Jax Dane, managed by Road Warrior Animal. So this match puts them in, the winner of this match gets into the Crockett Cup tournament for 2019.
Yeah, Road Warrior Animal, I think, works with the War Kings, helps them out. He sometimes comes out with them at certain independent shows, you know, from listening to his podcast. I've heard him mention them before.
Okay, good. That's good. He bounces around. He hasn't done much for WWE, obviously, for a while. You'll never see him in AEW. I don't think he's into doing big promotion stuff anymore.
He talks about it on his podcast. He doesn't know why he's kind of like blackballed in WWE. I mean, he's very outspoken, obviously, but he's not really sure why. And I think he would go to AEW if they asked him, you know, to work with guys and stuff like that. But, you know, in listening to his podcast, he's very opinionated. So
sure he is. He's a road warrior. Of course he is. They were opinionated in 1985. You know,
but sometimes that rubs people the wrong way, whatever. But I mean, he definitely has a lot of knowledge, and he could definitely add a lot to any promotion that he works for. I mean, you know, no, he was he a five-star wrestler, you know, star from no, but he knows the psychology of the business. He knows what works, and he knows, and even mentioned, you know, he knows what his limitations were and what he could do and can't do. And you know, again, you do not need to be, you know, what everybody calls the five-star match wrestler to be famous or be popular.
Sure, absolutely. Those guys didn't have work rate. They just bludgeon the shit out of guys, and that entertained me. So,
yes.
Anyway, this was a fun match. Right out of the gate, I realized that using the local guys. Now, Jason James didn't do – he just opened the show as, like, the host, but he ring announced for the rest of the show. It was pretty much this Gilbert Corsi and Nigel Sherrod did the commentating for the show. And they didn't – I mean, I've heard worse.
Yes, I've heard worse.
But these guys might have been a little over their heads. And we'll give examples about it as the show progresses. But they might have been a little over their heads doing a show of this magnitude. Fun power match. The War Kings win in 7:29. With their finisher. What'd you think? I really like Caleb Conley's not a bad hand. War Kings are, I mean, Jack Steen's a former world champion, so he's not chopped liver, neither is Crimson. I still like Jay Bradley. I feel like that's a guy that, one of the big companies should try to pick up. I still like him.
Yeah, I'd like to see him more in the NWA. Because they could use some big guys. But, yeah, he's a decent decent wrestler. I don't understand why he's he was in WWE for a little bit, I think.
Yeah, he was in NXT, for a bit. Yeah, yep.
But I would have no problem with seeing him, in the NWA when they come back.
I'd like to see where he is right now. I think they could use another big hand, particularly a good heel. So anyway, he stays in there. Yeah, but it was a good match though. Good power match. Good back and forth. Like, I'm a big fan of big power guys, and it was a fun little match. And again, your time was 7:29. So after that, Jay Bradley stays in the ring and just runs down everybody. Thinks he's getting screwed. He rips on Kayla, his partner, for blowing the match, yada, yada. No one can really beat me. This was a fluke. And then out of the back comes who we know now as Tom Latimer, who is, of course, at the moment, one half of the Wild Card, and, of course, a member of Strictly Business. But at the time, he was going by the name that more people know him as, Bram. And yes, that Bram, meaning Charlotte Flair's ex-husband, Bram, who I didn't know. I'd be honest, I had no idea one of the other. I never knew what Bram looked like, I'll be honest.
Yeah,
and then
I didn't either.
When they announced Bram, I'll be totally breaking kayfabe here. I had no fucking clue. Oh, that's Charlotte Flair's ex-husband. And of course, now he upgraded. Now he's going out with Camille, so I guess he didn't do too bad for himself. But he comes out as a babyface, which of course he's not now. He's a big time heel at the moment. But at this time in January of last year, he was a babyface and he beat the shit out of Jay Bradley. So I don't know, it was a good little moment, I guess, to give Bram some shine at the time. So anyway, next up, we have our first title match of the evening. We have four title matches. The first one is the Women's Championship, the NWA World Women's Championship. Your champion, Jazz, who we saw at the 70th anniversary show, taking on someone that is very familiar to a lot of you wrestling fans, particularly you diehards in AEW, Allie. I like Allie. Allie is, of course, now in AEW. And I like her character. She's kind of like a lesser version of – she's like a lesser version of Bayley. You know, happy-go-lucky, always smiling, gives hugs. I think she's better looking than Bayley. But she, that typical kind of happy-go-lucky baby face. And Jazz, of course, comes out with this headgear, and she's still, tough bitch. I was not crazy about this match. I saw a lot of missed moves. I saw a couple of kicks that looked like Diesel to Bigelow and King of the Ring 95 missed kicks. There was some really
Sloppy.
Yeah, it was a little sloppy. There were a lot of blown moves in this match. You could tell Allie was a little bit, as Steve Austin says, green as grass. But Jazz did the best she could. The match ends at 12:07. Jazz gets disqualified for shoving the ref. So Allie wins the match, but Jazz keeps the title. What did you think of the match, and what did you think of that decision?
I thought it was a weird decision. I'm not sure if they were trying to give a little shine on Allie by not having her, get pinned or submitted. But I just thought it was very sloppy. I think Allie was definitely green. Jazz is a good worker, but I don't know if she's good enough to really cover for Allie. And sometimes you just can't, when you have somebody that green. But not one of the better women's matches that I've seen recently, that's for sure.
It was not. Yeah, it was definitely a mix of styles. I think Jazz was maybe the chemistry wasn't there, and Allie is not that kind of snug worker that Jazz probably is accustomed to. So there was one kick. Allie was on the apron, and Jazz lifts her boot up and tries to give a kick, and it missed Allie's head by like 6 inches, and she sells it like she got punched in the face. I mean, it was not pretty. not pretty at all. But anyway, Allie wins the match.
I mean, Jazz was making some mistakes, which was, for a veteran, that also didn't help the situation. But we don't know if, when you're working these things out, maybe Allie was supposed to be in a certain spot and she wasn't.
Right. Oh, no, it happened a few times. And you could definitely tell that Jazz was not comfortable. Maybe they just weren't comfortable working together. And again, Jazz is the kind of, we've seen it all through her career in WWE and in ECW, that she was a very snug worker who liked working a little stiff. And Allie obviously is not like that. And maybe she was a little nervous about getting too close to some of Jazz's moves. And you could definitely tell that she was kind of feigning back on some of them. So anyway, the match goes 12:07. Definitely one of the most, probably the most disappointing match of the night. I was expecting more out of this match because I've seen Allie in matches in AEW, and she's very good. I think she's grown a lot in the year that she's been there since this match. But she definitely was not comfortable having someone like Jazz to work with. So maybe she's gotten better down the line. But all right, next up, we actually have and this usually happens when you're, when a bigger promotion or a more well-known promotion works with a smaller one, the smaller one gets to have their title shot in the middle of their big show. So the tried and true championship, the TNT title holder, title is on the line. And both these guys, Dr. G, we actually know from our show last week because both of them wrestled on that show. One was in a tag team and one was in the national championship tournament. Your champion, your TNT champion, Samuel Shaw, who of course, made it to the finals of the tournament, at the 70th anniversary show, only to lose to Willie Mack. We'll see Willie Mack in a couple minutes. But he has been the TNT champion for 409 days. And his opponent, Crazy Steve. Or if you look at the way he spells it, Crazy Steve, but it's Crazy Steve. And he comes out with this, like, it was weird. It was like druids, but it was these, like, it seemed very, like, Far East Asian-looking masks with, like, look like Mr. Terrific masks, if you know your DC heroes. I don't know. They were very strange, but they came out in these suits. It kind of looked like a Pink Floyd video. It was kind of neat, a little unnerving, but it was kind of neat. And he kind of looks like Darby Allin, the kind of a half-shaved head and, makeup and face paint, that kind of thing. But it seemed to be the number one contender, and it sounds like him, these two guys have been feuding for over a year and a half. And again, Samuel Shaw has been the TNT champion for 409 days. Not the AEW TNT champion that's going to have a TV network logo on the belt. That's different. This is the tried and true championship. What do you think of the belt? The belt looked like the old WWE TNT show logo. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah.
Except it wasn't red.
For two guys I'm not totally familiar with a little bit, obviously, from the last show, but other than that, I never... it was a pretty good match. I obviously the championship's on the line, so, we don't know what the backstory is of the feud, but obviously with the championship on the line, you knew you were at least going to get some excitement there. It was a fun match.
By the way, not only was it for the TNT title, but it was also a loser leave town match. Now, going in, the only one that was going to lose, that would have had to leave town, was Crazy Steve, but at the beginning of the show, they announced that Samuel Shaw would also have to leave the territory if he lost the match. Look at me kicking it old school, the territory. He would have to leave the territory. So the winner is the TNT champion, and the loser has to leave the territory. And I enjoyed this match. It was violent. It was a lot of fun. We had thumbtacks. We had canvases. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And one of Crazy Steve's friends in his little group tried to interfere. They spit
a little,
mist.
A little ECWS.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely was. It definitely was. They spit mist. I don't think I've ever seen someone not Asian spit mist. Like not an Asian wrestler like Kabuki or Muda or Asuka. And Crazy Steve spits mist in Samuel Shaw's eyes, hits him with a painted canvas painting of himself, which Samuel Shaw was painting before the match. and then hits his finisher on the thumbtacks, gets the three count, and Crazy Steve, after 409 days, finally regains the tried and true championship. I guess it was pretty much just they were like the main event feud in the territory. They were bouncing the title off each other. So Crazy Steve is your champion, and Samuel Shaw is out of the promotion. Now I'm curious, where is Samuel Shaw now? Is he in Impact? Let me think. Oh no, we talked about this. He's in WWE. He's in NXT under the name Dexter Lumis.
All right.
So he was trained by the Dudleys and Curtis Hughes. I think we talked about this. Yeah, we did. You know, one of his ring names was, I never noticed this, one of his ring names was Boss Hog. I think it's a better ring name than anything else. That's a better ring name than anything else. So Samuel Shaw is not in Tried and True. He is currently with WWE. Down
those
in
damn
full
Dukes seat. Ran him out of town.
Damn Duke boys. Damn Duke boys. So Crazy Steve is your Tried and True champion, and Samuel Shaw is out of the Tried and True wrestling territory. And a year later, he is in WWE in the NXT promotion or in the NXT brand.
You think he misses the Tried and True championship?
Well, it almost looks like the old. I know, right? It's funny though. It almost looks like the old NXT belt. You know, it's the big logo. Like, it almost looks like it. Kind of reminiscent of it. Next up, we have our third title match of the evening, and this was my favorite match of the night. And that is for the national championship, our champion, Willie Mack, who won the tournament back at the 70th anniversary show, taking on, ROH stalwart Matt Cross, who had a big win a few months earlier at All In. And here he is here as the number one contender, taking on Willie Mack for the national championship. I really like this match. This was my match of the night. It was back and forth. It was hard hitting. You know, Willie Mack's not in the best of shape. Again, like I said, he kind of has that Rufus R. Jones look for all you old school Mid-Atlantic fans. And, you know, Matt Cross in good shape. But Willie Mack held his own. I mean, I think he's one of the more underrated, underappreciated in-ring guys, I think, of the Big Six promotions. He really works his way around a ring better than I thought he did. And it was hard hitting. It was stiff. They bounced around.
You know what I liked about it? I liked the fact that you could tell, like, each guy, you know, had that feel of, I want to win this match, you know. Matt Cross really wanted to become national champion, and Willie Mack, you know, trying to hang on to his championship.
Right.
And, you know, I just love that feeling, that old school feeling of, like, you know, the belts really mean something. And
right, I agree.
That's the feeling I got when I watched this. Same thing with the previous match with the Tried and True Championship, but this one, you know, since we're NWA centric here, I just felt like the belt felt important.
It definitely did. Matt Cross really wanted it. There was a great back and forth. I mean, you have Matt Cross as kind of an aerial worker, Willie Mack, very grounded kind of worker, strikes. Work mat based, and they really went back and forth, and it was a lot of fun. The crowd was into it. The announcing got a little bit better. I guess obviously the bar is not that high, but I mean, it wasn't bad for local guys, but they did okay.
So
anyway, I'm not bitter. I just found it weird, but I'm assuming it was part of the deal that the local guys had to do the show. And not Joe Galli and Jim Cornette, even though, you know,
Really know the backstory of this. I don't know if it was like, you know, Billy Corgan wanted to get something going, and he went to them, and they, you know, put something together real quick.
Billy Corgan probably, you know, was still trying to get his feet wet and trying to get himself established, and working with other promotions kind of helped his overhead a little bit. And now, obviously, he's doing fine because over a year later, he's, you know, if it wasn't for this virus, this coming a week from this Sunday, we would have probably their biggest show of the year, the Crockett Cup. So
that was going to be a big show.
It was going to be a big show, and it still can be. One thing about them that is different from AEW and WWE, NWA actually suspending operations may save the money. Sadly, they're they're not making money and people aren't getting paid. And that's why they're doing, if you go to their website, and nationalwrestlingalliance.com, they're having kind of a, not really a fundraiser. Well, I guess it is a fundraiser, but they have certain shirts on sale that you can purchase. And if, and a portion of it, all of the proceeds go to the workers for at the NWA that are losing money because they're not doing anything. They're not shooting power episodes and whatever. So check that out. Go to nationalwrestlingalliance.com, and they're selling some merch.
Well, I feel bad for these guys that are on the indie circuit because they don't have contracts. So obviously all their events have been canceled. So, you know, I was just listening to an interview the other day with Aaron Stevens, and he said obviously he was in WWE and he does, you know, he does acting. You know, he says he took care of himself financially. He made some good decisions, so he's okay. But there's some people that he knows that, you know, are struggling because they're not working.
Right. Yeah. So this is tough. This is tough.
It is tough. I mean, hopefully soon they'll be able to get back. You know, obviously want the whole world to get back. This, we're just talking about the wrestling part of it. I mean, obviously we want the whole world to get back. A lot of people are affected by this, but you know, in regards to wrestling, it's, you know, once NWA comes back, these guys could start working again, and then, you know, the indie shows could start back up again, and you know, we could see all the guys that we like to see on, you know, hopefully on a weekly basis soon.
Right. And one of them is Matt Cross, who's still there. Willie Mack, of course, is currently in Impact Wrestling. Anyway, this match was really good, and Willie Mack hits his finisher and gets the win in 15:07, and it didn't seem that long, but I was timing the matches because Wikipedia didn't have the match times. So the match went 15:07. It was a fun back and forth, and Willie Mack retains the national championship. So good win there for him, and a fun match. Tough loss for Matt Cross, but he will be back. We get another vignette. We have a vignette and another movie trailer, because our next match is the match that kind of sold the show. Even though we do have a world's title match at the end, this match kind of sold the pay-per-view. It is the Kingdom of Josephus, which is Josephus himself and his spiritual advisor, taking on David Arquette and a tag team partner of his choosing. The loser, either Josephus or David Arquette, gets his head shaved. Now, David Arquette comes out alone. He sits in a chair and says, you know what, right? I did not find a tag team partner. Maybe I'm better served being in the kingdom. And then he goes, but you know what, Josephus? I am a pretty good actor. And he says he did get a tag team partner. He called him out. And who walks out? The guy that has had a blood feud with Josephus for the past year, Tim Storm. And the place goes nuts. So Tim Storm kind of got the dusty pop here. Incidentally, it was Josephus that cost Tim Storm the world heavyweight title against Nick Aldis that started Aldis's first reign as champion, which of course ended back at All In against Cody. And then of course Aldis won it back. We'll get to him in a minute. So there is backstory here. And on a side note, if you go to the NWA's YouTube page, there's a clip of an empty arena match,
it's where Impact's tape, they did it.
Yeah,
there.
It's the Impact Zone. And this was January of the year before. This is January of 2018. And it was Tim Storm and Josephus in an empty arena match. So if you go to the National Wrestling Alliance's YouTube page, you'll see it there. It's about 42 minutes, but it talks about the whole feud and everything. So honestly, G, this was not just a random pick just because Tim Storm was around. He was feuding with Josephus.
Yes.
So this actually fit. So it was good. Symmetry there, continuity. We love continuity in our wrestling, don't we? Sometimes we don't get that. So this was a fun little tag match. It had its moments, you know. It's David Arquette, so he does what he can.
I mean, he was. I've seen other matches. This one, he was a. He's green. It wasn't one of his best, but you know, obviously having Tim Storm in there was a reason, you know. To have him part of this.
Right.
Kind of pick him up a little bit.
And it was a lot of fun. And this was kind of the sports entertainment, if you will, part of the show. There was some moves, but it was mostly a lot of posturing, a lot of, you know, kind of acting and everything. And as expected, David Arquette and Tim Storm get the win. So Josephus, who, unlike most hair versus hair matches we've seen, Dr. G, where the guys have to be like sedated or whatever, like Adrian Adonis had to be put in a sleeper, Josephus sat there kind of defiantly and took his head shaving. I applauded him. And he got his beard trimmed too.
Yeah.
The match went 10:59, so good enough length to not embarrass anybody. Were you entertained by it? I know you weren't. We weren't expecting, you know, work rate miracles, but were you entertained?
Yeah, I thought it was entertaining, especially, you know. It was weird because usually, like you said, when hair matches, you always figure they're going to be defiant and you're going to – and he just kind of sat there and took his lumps. And then when they went, they showed like a backstage thing of him getting the rest shaved off. And, you know, he was just going jacking back and forth with David Arquette, but he was still just, you know, sitting there and letting him shave his head.
Yep.
But it was good. I enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed it for what it was. You know, again, when I watch wrestling, this is me personally, I want to be entertained. I mean, I think most people want to be entertained. It does not have to be these work rates. You know, that's why I'm not into the whole stars thing, rate and match. You know what? If it entertains me, and the work rate could be shitty, but they entertain me for whatever reason, depending on what goes on in the match. That's all I want. I don't need what we call 5-star matches for every match. You can't. It's not even possible to have those type of matches, and that's why when you build a card or you're watching WrestleMania, and they you know, the way it used to be, booking used to be a little bit more defined on how, you know, like you start out with a warm up match, and you know, then you get some real high flying, or you get some, you know, more of an athletic match in the middle, and then it leads up to your main event. You know, they used to be a little bit defined, but with for me and with these things, no, you're not going to see this as being, you know, one of the best matches of all time somewhere. You know, but it was entertaining. It was funny. I enjoyed it. It kept me interested while I was watching it. It wasn't like I was falling asleep or I wanted to go, you know, look at something else.
And usually matches with celebrities are usually considered attractions to begin with.
Right.
You're not looking for.
I mean,
you know,
Arquette,
like,
is trying to become he's training to be a wrestler. So he is trying to take it seriously.
Look, Pritchard said it on his pod. You know, LT, and we use this example a lot, LT and Bigelow at WrestleMania 11 was an attraction. The work rate match on that show was, of course, Shawn Michaels and Diesel, which was the PWI match of the year. But this was an attraction to bring in the mainstream, and this was meant that David Arquette bump here. Same thing with Karl Malone in WCW and Rodzilla and all that. You know, it's to bring in the mainstream, and I think bringing David Arquette in was to bring in extra eyes. We weren't looking for Savage Steamboat or, you know, Steamboat Flair or whatever.
But, you know,
we were just looking for something to have mainstream eyes look at the product.
Right. At least those guys kind of took it seriously. I mean, like, you know, when they had like Jay Leno wrestling, I mean, that was not obviously, you know, that was hard to take seriously. But
I always laugh when Jay Leno was putting Hogan in an armbar and Hogan was actually selling it. I watched that now. At that Bash at the Beach, and I just laugh. I laugh. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Like, stuff like
that. Isn't even real.
That makes no sense. But, you know, when you have a guy like Dennis Rodman, you know, like athletes, these guys are athletes. No, they're not wrestlers, but they're in good shape. Many of them trained. You know, they took it seriously and trained. That you could take a little seriously. But, you know, that's like, you know, me or you going in against Hulk Hogan. I mean, really. I mean, who's going to take that seriously? These two slugs, you know, like we're going to do something to a guy that's six.
Hey, I could perform an excellent eye rake. Okay. That's or a back rake. Although Hogan did a good back. You have to perfectly manicure nails for that. Anyway, it was a fun look. It was a fun match. It was entertaining. And again, I think to a lesser scale, it was meant to bring some eyes to the, you know, some mainstream eyes, both to the NWA and to this local promotion.
You just want to, like I'm not sitting here now. I'm not trying to pick a fight with him. Listen, some people, they like doing ratings of this stars and that stuff. You know, like, I don't get like how something could be 4¾ stars and not 5. Like, you know, whatever. But that's your opinion. That's fine. But my opinion is I want to be entertained. And not everything has to be a five-star match. Nothing has to be like, I feel like I'm Pritchard sometimes. It doesn't have to be in the Tokyo Dome with, you know, it doesn't matter to me. If I'm entertained and it entertains me, that's all I need. Something that's going to keep me. But if you find me like I'm getting ready to go to the bathroom or go get a drink or something like that, and I'm, you know, I'm watching it off my phone, if I'm like wandering and my mind's wandering, then you're not entertaining me. I think that's like with anything else, right? When you're watching TV, if you find yourself you're on your phone, that means that show's not gripping, you know, grabbing your attention. Well, same right. thing with a wrestling match. You know, I have to be honest with you. The Jazz Alley match wasn't doing it for me. So I probably was a little bit more distracted during that. But because of some of the entertainment in the Josephus Arquette match, that kept me watching.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I mean, no one goes into a match with a celebrity expecting, you know, Okada and Kenny Omega. That's the entertainment portion of a card. When you're thinking about work rate, you would think about either Willie Mack and Matt Cross or the match we're about to talk about, which was the wrestling man's match of this card. Mm-hmm. And that is our world NWA World's Heavyweight Champion, the National Treasure, Nick Aldis, who won the title back from Cody few months prior at the 70th anniversary show, taking on the hometown son from Tennessee himself, the Cowboy James Storm. Of course, Storm had left Impact at this point. Bow Joe Day. Look, of course they didn't play that. I don't think they
did. I tell you, for somebody that drinks a lot of beer, he's in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I wonder if it's kayfabe beer. Anyway.
No, he likes his beer. I've heard him on interviews.
Oh, no, I'm assuming. Oh, I assume that. You know, man, you got to hit the gym, you know, and if you hit the gym enough, then you're burning off all of those carbs. So it sounds like James Storm was handed this title match kind of because it was the hometown crowd. So I don't think there was as much of a backstory for this match as there was when they wrestled 11 months later at NWA Into the Fire. That's a little different. Now, mind you, the difference also is they didn't really have a platform. They pimped this on social media, whereas, you know, later in the year when they actually had NWA power, they had a TV show like anybody else. So Nick Aldis comes out with Camille, and
he's such a great heel.
He really is a good heel. He has that look. He strides.
The 2020 Ric Flair. I mean, I know that people, I'm not trying to compare the two, but that just, he does have that.
Everybody
aura.
Says that, though. You're not in the minority there. You're not in the minority. You may think he in the minority, but you're not.
He does have the aura of Ric Flair. Like, he carries that belt. He takes that championship so seriously. He makes it seem to be a bigger championship than it really is at this point in time. I mean, the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, I think, was truly the, usually that champion, even though the WWF in the 80s was making more money, but I think that championship just seemed to mean more, you know, the NWA.
Well, we'll talk more about the NWA
world title.
Yeah. We'll talk more about it. But that's a piece of our chat.
But I just like the fact that just all this, Nick Aldis is just so, I just love watching him. He's just such a great heel. He really is. And he's a good wrestler, too.
He's definitely an exceptional wrestler. I feel like he's a guy that adapts well. He reminds me, I think I've said this before, he reminds me a lot of Edge, who in his prime could adapt to any opponent. He could wrestle different ways. Right. I always felt that about him. And so that's kind of what I see here.
He's going to be one of those champions like Ric Flair where – obviously, Flair was such a great heel, but then people just wind up loving him in the end. You know, they always had that deep respect right. for him. So, I enjoyed this match. I like the back and forth, and I like the fact that, you know, then you see, you know, Billy Corgan getting involved. You know, I like that they changed it, you know, changed it to a no
count out, no DQ. You know, so everybody, if you're at that show, you're thinking, oh, wow, James Storm's going to win the belt now.
Right.
Right? Didn't you feel, yep. You know, like, obviously because we're watching this, you know, a year after the fact, we knew that didn't happen when we're watching it. But if those people live had to feel like, holy shit, we're going to see a title change tonight. You know, when Corrigan changed it, you know, to restart the match again. You could sense it in the crowd, like, oh shit, we're gonna, our hometown guy is gonna win the belt.
But he didn't.
Then they tricked you.
Yeah, they did. He did a roll up. Typical Flair ending though, like an accidental roll up.
Yep.
And the time of your match, 25:33, so pretty good length. A little shorter than the Cody match from October. And Aldis wins clean. No tights pulling or anything like that. And Nick Aldis retains the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship in a great match against James Storm. And, of course, this would not be the end of the story because, as I mentioned, 11 months later at NWA Into the Fire, Aldis and James Storm would meet again, and once again, Nick Aldis.
You like saying it like that, don't you?
Into the Fire, yes. And if you want to hear what we thought of that show, go back into the catalog here at the Place to Be Wrestling Network and go back to mid-December on the calendar on the left side of the page and find Dr. G.
You like having your own network now, huh? You like the way
I named that? It's a network. You're on the network. It's kind of like a what do you call it? Cyrus in ECW. He was the network. You know, he used to be the vague, the network. Well, that's kind of what I am. Anyway, Nick Aldis retains the title, and we are off the air. Overall, I thought it was a fun show. I thought it was you thought it went long. I felt long. I didn't. I thought it actually went brisker. It was a brisker show than the 70th anniversary show.
I don't want to say like kind of like fluff, if you want to say, like when they were coming out to the ring. I don't know. Just they did have a lot of the vignettes, obviously, for David Arquette. I mean, you know what it was. You know, when I first started trying to watch this, I was watching it late at night, so that, you know, sometimes things just feel longer. Then I picked it up the next morning, and it obviously flowed much better, and I actually enjoyed it. You know, especially I think I watched up to the beginning of the Willie Mack match. And then when I watched the second half of it, then I was really into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I thought it was a good show.
I probably would say the Willie Mack, Matt Cross, and the Nick Aldis, James Storm matches were the best matches on the card.
Yeah, they were. No, they were. My favorite, I thought the Willie Mack, Matt Cross match was just a notch above the main event. The main event was fun. A lot of stuff. I mean, Nick, a good table spot, and there's a lot of good action behind the, you know, outside the ring, and a couple of topes and things. But maybe because I knew that match was going to be good, I was not expecting the Willie Mack, Matt Cross match to be that good. So that was my match of the night. So a fun little show in Clarksville, Tennessee, and good job by both the NWA and TNT Wrestling. It's on YouTube. It's on the NWA YouTube page. If you want to own it otherwise, I know for a fact that, the NWA is selling the DVD on nationalwrestlingalliance.com. So you can check
it out. Yeah. So we're going to start adding these DVDs to your, to the shelf there.
Are
you going to rename your studio now? Cause you're, you know, the head of the network.
Well, this is now called the Network Studio.
Okay. So in the Network Studio, you're going to have, NWA DVDs or
the merch, Blu-ray. Put them behind me on a shelf like a set.
Yeah.
There was actually a deal today, and I'm a little pissed. It wasn't on there. On a side note, ROH right now, Ring of Honor has a deal. Buy one DVD, get two free. And I was going to do it today, but the only reason I didn't was I actually want, even though it is on YouTube, it's on Ring of Honor's YouTube page. I wanted the G1 Supercard, which is the show I went to last year at Madison Square Garden. The night before WrestleMania 35, and because that show was awesome, they didn't have it, so there wasn't really anything else I wanted to go with it. I was going to buy that and just pick two random things, just pick two random DVDs free. But I wanted to get the G1 Supercard show on DVD, but they didn't have it. They were sold out. You can watch the G1 Supercard. It's on Ring of Honor's YouTube page. I want you to watch it, Dr. G, because it was pretty crazy. On a side note, going off on a tangent briefly, and I've said this many times. I said it on Main Event. I've said it on other shows. To watch an event of that magnitude at Madison Square Garden that wasn't a WWE show was really surreal. And for a wrestling fan as big as I am, and you've known me a long time, it was different, but it felt special for me to be there and to see, I mean, that moment to see both the great Muda and now future, or I guess you could say WWE Hall of Fame elect Jushin Liger in the ring at the same time was kind of badass. So that show is on the ROH YouTube page for free. And they usually have the DVD on their website. But anyway, if you're interested, ROH has a buy one, get one, two free sale on their website for DVDs.
Yeah, well, we got to make sure we get some NWA ones in your collection.
Well, I want the Crockett Cup. And that's on that is on ROH's website. You can get that because that's obviously one of the – because, you know, they co-branded that. So you can get the Crockett Cup DVD on ROH.
But I have to say, you know, and I think you and I were going to – I'm going to start getting some merchandise. Support the NWA, NationalWrestlingAlliance.com. They have some, you know, some cool shirts on there. I love the blue shirt with the yellow lettering.
That's oh, yeah, like the, canvas. Like the and the apron.
They're starting to make some shirts for the for all the wrestlers now. So you get your favorite wrestler. You know, obviously the question mark stuff's pretty popular.
The Camille, you know, shirt's getting.
It's nice to support, you know, for those who are listening to our show, obviously you're NWA fans like us, you know, you want to see them stick around. You know,
more competition, the better. I listen. The big news today is that the Revival was released. They and WWE mutually agreed to part ways. So the Revival are free agents. Of course, everyone thinks they're going to go to AEW because they think everybody runs to AEW. But who knows? They may be a perfect team for.
What everybody
NWA.
Doesn't understand is, I mean, I know because everybody got so used to the WCW, WWF in those days, because somebody leaves one of those, leaves the WWE, they're automatically going to AEW. Remember, AEW doesn't have a lot of TV shows. They don't do house shows. And they're not just going to sign everybody that comes from the WWE. I mean, people need to realize that. You know, they have budgets just like anyone else. And now they're very fortunate. And the company, unfortunately, with this virus thing, probably hurt it a little bit. But they were starting to make money from what I was reading and hearing. And that's amazing for a new company because of a TV contract. Obviously, TV is where the money is now in wrestling. It's totally opposite model than it used to be, where the house shows were where the money was made. And then pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. But now TV is where it's at. So with them getting that 4-year deal with Turner, obviously that's helping them. But they're not going to sign every wrestler that leaves the WWE. I mean, yeah, it's like Randy Orton left or, you know, big name like that. Yeah, most likely AEW is going to try to go after them. But they're not going to go after every team. Now, it could be wrong. Revival could sign with them, but.
Sure they could. I'm not saying they're not. But the Revival would be a great team in the NWA, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, I know that Billy Corgan and Lagana have a plan. I mean, they're obviously not going to just stick to the studio show. I'm sure they're going to do some more little by little. But obviously this situation is probably set their plans a little bit back. But I do believe that the NWA will be, in the, you know, when things get back to normal in the next year or so, you're going to see a different NWA. You're still going to see the studio show, but you're going to see things getting a little bigger, and you're starting to see it already. I mean, the Crockett Cup, I heard they really sold a lot of tickets for that already.
I have a feeling you're going to see it happening in June. I do. I think you're going to see it happen in late June. The good thing about NWA is they didn't really schedule out too far, so they can kind of go day by day with their promotion. So we'll see.
Yeah,
what happens.
I mean, we don't know what was worked on behind the scenes that they just didn't announce yet. But yeah, you're right. No, it's I really would love to see them do well. Like you said, the competition's great. You know, WWE fans, AEW is going to be good for you. I mean, WCW becoming good when they did made WWF, you know, when we were, you know, come on, we remember in the mid-90s, we were watching WCW more than we were watching WWF. WWF was horrible.
Yep. And then they got better. I mean,
you know, and then when the Monday Night Wars in the beginning, you know, the NWO kind of got us all intrigued. And then we started seeing the WWF program was getting better. So then, you know, a lot of us flipped over to there, or we were going back and forth. So this is a good thing. Competition's a good thing. And, you know, for the people working at the company, it's not always such a good thing. But for us as fans, we win in the end.
Yep.
And, I, you know, listen, I know sometimes we all joke around. I don't like to take sides. Listen, no, am I happy with the WWE product in the last, you know, 5-6 years? Not really. But, you know, obviously there's certain things. I mean, I enjoyed WrestleMania for what it was. But I think I hope it helps them step up. I hope AEW does, you know, put that indirect pressure on them to step up their product. But there's limitations in WWE now, too. Remember, when Vince did his thing, and I know we're kind of going off the topic here a little bit, but when Vince did his thing, he was the sole owner of the company. Remember, now he's public company now. Things are a little different. You know, he still has that fire in his belly, don't get me wrong, but things are different. He does have a little bit of limitations, even though he would never admit it.
You know, things are not happy in McMahon land right now, because it also was announced today that the XFL laid off everybody and that they...
I'm really disappointed. I really enjoyed the games. I mean, I actually watched probably about 5 or 6 of the games, which, you know, the other XFL, I think I watched the first week and that was it. Like, I actually really enjoyed. I thought the games were pretty good.
And I'm going to make a prediction. I think you're going to see the XFL in 2022. I do. I think you're going to see the XFL in 2022.
Yeah. I mean, I hope you do. So disappointing. I mean, hopefully, you know, a lot of people lose their jobs, you know?
Yeah, that's the worst part. Fuck the football in terms of the entertainment value. People aren't working. And that's a problem everywhere.
You know, hopefully, maybe like you're right. Maybe they will come back in 2022. I hope you're right.
I don't see why it can't come back in 2021, but who knows? Anyway, you know what, Dr. G? That kind of reminded me of one of your old sports prescriptions on the Extra Point. Kind of let you go on the soapbox there and go off a little bit. Enjoyed that. That was good. Well, very nice. Enjoyed that. The pleasure was all mine.
You know what it is.
All right. So I hope everyone enjoyed that. Again, check out the New Year's Clash 2019 on the NWA YouTube page. It was a pretty fun show. We'll be back next week. By the way, before we promote, let's do some plugs. The Doctor, of course, is on this show. Also, over on the Pop feed, the newest episode of the Year in Pop dropped yesterday, 1981. You, me, Mr. Atherton, and Mr. D'Amato. We talked about everything great 1981, so and I hope you all enjoy that. Got a great stuff on the Place to Be Wrestling Network, of course, Place to Be Podcast, Main Event, Row 1, Seat 1, Jenny and the Gems, Special Relations Podcast, our good mates from the UK, bunch of great stuff. In fact, one of the guys, I promoted on Main Event this week, one of the three gentlemen from Special Relations is premiering his solo pod this Monday. So check it out Monday on this Place to Be Wrestling Network and PlaceToBeNation.com and see the debut of a brand new podcast. I think you'll like it a lot.
Are you still a gem?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm always a gem. That'll be we have a new Jane and the Gems later this month. Yes, I believe we're recording this coming week.
What show are you doing?
We'll keep it a surprise, but let's just say it'll be similar vein to the last episode we did. We did the Road to WrestleMania 9 show, which not many people remember. It was the USA special the week before WrestleMania 9. So similar to that. I won't be specific, but similar to a show like that. Kind of a build show to a big show, put it that way. So check that out.
So you're not going to have like guys in Kellogg's?
No, nobody's wearing cornflakes boxes. That was ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
Burn will take money from anybody. Anyway,
wish I was actually on that show. I would have had a blast.
That was a lot of fun. You got to listen to it. It was a lot of fun. We enjoyed it. Yeah, we'll have to watch one night. It's in the Hidden Gems on the network. Don't forget it. Speaking of, don't forget our affiliate feeds. Of course, the Jenny Position, which has a lot of great programming, including the Journey into Infinity, which I am on that show. And, of course, the the North-South Podcast Connection. My PIC, Mr. Azzaro, Chad Campbell. Great stuff over there as well. So check them out. The Wrestling War Zone, No Holds Barred, Jeff Learns Wrestling, the Extreme Three-Way Dance, which had an episode a while back, Dr. G, about the NWA Championship. I think you know what I'm talking about. We'll get to that in a second. And also, Chad Campbell's new show, The Spirit of 06. He's going to go through everything that happened North American wrestling in 2006. That'd be a pretty fun project, kind of a random year to think about. So check that out, too. And, of course, placebination.com, great website, all the great stuff. So next week on the NWA Saturday special, this one's a little more fan interactive, and check out both placebination.com's Facebook page, the PlaceToBeNation Facebook page, and the PlaceToBeNation's main event Facebook page, because we're going to look for your comments and opinions on this question. Next week, Dr. G, we are going to delve into, you just mentioned it, the 10 pounds of gold, otherwise known as Sweet Charlotte, otherwise known as the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. We're going to talk about the ups and downs of the title over the past 30 years. You know, in the 80s when it was around the waist of Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes and Tommy Rich and Harley Race and all those, Ronnie Garvin and all those guys, it was, you know, it was very prestigious. And then, of course, as time progressed, the NWA changed, things changed. You know, Shane Douglas threw it on the ground and Dennis Corleone almost crapped his pants. And then, you know, it kind of was lost to anonymity for a while. So that's our topic next week, the ups and downs of the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. And that's what we're going to talk about next week on the show. And again, it's going to be a little fan interactive. So I'm going to go on my Twitter at PTB Podfather and his Twitter at KFC14360. And, the Place to Be Nation Facebook page and the Place to Be Nation's main event Facebook page. We'll be asking for your opinions and thoughts on the NWA Championship over the past 30 years and some moments you remember, not just the Crockett ones, but, you know, what took place in the 90s and the 2000s, guys like Adam Pearce and Robert Conway and some of these other guys that won the NWA belt. Did they, you know, was it for the better or for the worse? And has Billy Corgan successfully resurrected it? And should we thank Nick Aldis for that? Has he become the savior of the National Wrestling Alliance and its World Heavyweight Championship? So we're going to talk about that next
week. I can't wait.
So we're going to talk about that next week on the show. And then the week after, here on the NWA Saturday special, we may have our first guest with us for that topic. We'll talk more about that next week. Happy Easter for those that observe. Happy Passover for those that observe. I am Scott Criscolo. Have a great week. He's the doctor. You're not.
Ciao.